Hello and welcome to another episode of Normal Boring Free Birth for Normal Boring People. We have a fantastic episode for you today. We're often asked, do we have any stories of free birth that's just completely solo, completely on their own? And I don't think it spoils this story by saying this is one of those stories today. We have Bria sharing with us her free birth story where she birthed in an Airbnb of all places. Yeah, you're going to be on the edge of your seat with her story here. Before we get into it, I want to talk to you about fear. Because this is a common theme in a lot of our stories. We obviously hear a lot of different processes and approach to preparing for free birth. And I know that when I was preparing for mine, fear came up a lot. I was very back and forth with my decision of, well, you know, what do I do? What if something goes wrong? I feel like free birth just makes a lot of sense for me, but what if something happens? And to be honest, I wasted a lot of time on that question without really exploring it, and I wish I'd done that a bit sooner. I feel like if I had, it would have taken the pressure off of my pregnancy. I could have relaxed a bit more and just kind of been settled in knowing what I wanted to do. It's for this reason that Leonie and I have created our very first Normal Boring Free Birth workshop, and we are inviting you to it right now. We're calling it How to Handle Your Fears. So if you're listening to this and you're enjoying these stories and you're thinking, yeah, I might free birth, but what if something goes wrong? I'm just not sure. I've got these fears. Maybe your partner's got fears and concerns and you feel like they're holding you back a bit. Join us for this workshop. It's for 2 hours on March the 4th at 8 p.m. GMT time. There will be a replay so you can watch the recording afterwards. And it's going to be 2 juicy hours of getting connected, hearing everyone's fears and working through them together. We really want to leave you with a framework that you can apply to the other times when inevitably other fears are going to crop up. So join us for this workshop. The link to grab your ticket will be in the show notes of this episode. We're limiting it to only 20 spaces and I know some have gone already. So if you want to join us, don't hesitate. Go and get your ticket before you listen to this episode, perhaps, and then come back to us and then listen to this amazing episode. And I will see you there. I cannot wait.
Hey, Bria, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on and telling your story today. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to record today with you two. My name's Bria, and I live in Grenada in the Caribbean with my family, my partner, Dwayne, and our 2 children, 7-year-old Zebedee and 5-month-old Merlin. Originally a Londoner, I suppose always a Londoner, once a Londoner, always a Londoner. But I live over here in Grenada, but I chose for both births to travel back to the UK. Deputy's birth 7 years ago was a hospital birth, and I've just had 5 months ago a wonderful free birth with my daughter Merlin.
Amazing. Well, where feels like a good place to start? Where do you want to kick it off?
I was thinking maybe to talk about what I kind of thought about birth before it actually came upon me. So I grew up with my granny always saying to me how the eldest generation of the family waits around just long enough to meet the newest ones and then they die. So I was always told this story about how me and my cousin, who's a couple of months older, were taken to go and see my great-grandmother in the snow and, you know, all this kind of like slightly dramatic story. But she waited around to see us and then she died quite soon after that. So I suppose that I've always got this relationship with kind of, I don't know, it just feels like very natural, this birth-death cycle. With Zebedee, we decided to try for a baby, but not realizing that it would happen so quickly.
We'll see how it goes.
And it just happened, which is great. But I decided, like, we went and bought a pregnancy test and I was reading it and it says, oh, try to do it like the first pee of the morning and I just kept on forgetting. So it was like sitting there for a couple of weeks, and then eventually I remembered, like, oh, first P, I'll do the test, and it came up positive. And I think the one person that I was really, really excited to tell that I was pregnant was my dad. So I thought, okay, like, I'll get hold of him and I'll tell him. But before I could, I got a phone call saying that he died suddenly.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, so I had to come back to England for like the funeral and to deal with stuff. So when I was there, I phoned up my GP that I'm registered with. I phoned them up and I said, I'm pregnant. And they said, okay, great. We're going to book you in a checking in appointment. Okay, simple. So I went to the checking in appointment and I just didn't like the midwife. I just didn't like her. It was just a personality thing. We just didn't gel. But I thought, actually, I don't really care. I'm kind of here for a few weeks. I'm going to go back to Grenada. So, yeah, I just, in England, I kind of had the first two scans, went back to Grenada, kind of just saw a private GP once a month. We kind of took a blood pressure, a measurement, like not much to do. And then I came back to England, I think I waited as long as I could. So I think it was about 36 weeks that I was allowed to fly. And we came back, kind of had the usual appointments with the GP, not with the GP, with the midwife. And then Zebedee was born on the Wednesday. They'd booked me in for my 40-week appointment with them. And that, I think that was the Friday, and then he was born on the Wednesday after that. But I went in for the appointment and I said to her, I feel like I'm in labor. Like for about 3 or 4 nights before he was actually born, I was in the night just cramping about every half an hour, and it was just waking me up. And I was just thinking to myself, this feels like the baby's coming. It's coming slowly, but it's coming. So I went in with this appointment and I said, I feel the baby's coming. And she said to me, no, it's not. If your baby was coming, you'd know about it. I was like, okay. But she said, but what we will do is we will do a sweep.
All right, we will. We will.
Now, I must confess that I went to the, you know, the antenatal classes, whatever they give the NHS. And I was just completely zoned out throughout the whole thing because I just thought, I want a natural pregnancy, natural birth, maybe a little bit of gas and air, I want a birth in the water. So I was set to go into the birth centre at the hospital to do that. So I kind of just didn't really pay attention to much of what they were saying, but I was writing notes. I think just to look like I was participating.
Yeah.
So I imagine that maybe she discussed sweeps and I just didn't listen because I wasn't interested.
Well, so, did you?
Yeah.
Not what we hear, is it? You know, God, no one really gets that conversation. But maybe for the sake of
I don't know. And so she said to me, just go and lie on the bed and take off your underpants. And I'll come and do a sweep. So I was sitting there, and as she was doing it, she was explaining what she was doing. She didn't explain it beforehand, but she was explaining it as she was doing it.
Right.
So she gave me a sweep, and then she made a comment. She said, oh, you really don't feel pain, do you? I hope that I'm there when your baby's born. And I was sort of, okay, I don't really kind of know what that means.
Yeah. What's she basing that on? That you're not saying anything, or...?
Yeah.
How is she getting that from you? This assumption.
Because I was just very closed off with her just because I didn't like her.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you're not feeling pain. That just means you're not vocalizing anything.
Yeah. And so I went home, still had these like really bad night's sleep. I was exhausted. Like, I need my 8 hours sleep at least. Like, even with young children, I get my 8 hours sleep and I feel like I can't function without that.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been sleeping, and I thought, I'm going to have to go and give birth, and I'm not sure really, like, how I can do this. So I was staying at a family member's house who is a hoarder.
Okay.
So in the evening, like, they very nicely gave up their bedroom for us. So in the evening, I start getting these pains and I'm thinking, okay, this is definitely it. So I kind of blew up the birth ball. And I was sat in this room where there was maybe like a square meter of space.
Okay.
Like, to actually be able to move in, because the amount of stuff that was around. And I just like sat there and I was calm. I was fine. I just thought, okay, this is it. Like, I don't feel frightened. It seems fine. My partner, Dwayne, just went to sleep. So I sat there thinking, this is fine. I quite like to be on my own, but maybe you should ask permission, like, whether it's okay.
Yeah, maybe check in. Yeah. Like,
but he did. So I was kind of like watching him, kind of like just a bit pissed off as well at his behavior. And that was like early evening that was happening. And it was just like throughout the night, I was getting these, like, what I was calling at the time, contractions. And it was just going on. And I felt exhausted. But I remembered what they said to me at the class. Okay, when your contractions are like 3 in every 10 minutes, equally apart, you call the midwife and they'll come out and examine you. And if they think it's the right time to go into the hospital, that's what they'll do. And they weren't quite 3 in every 10 minutes. And I just thought, let me look at my notes from the classes, because I remember them saying something about I could go in and they could give me something that knocks me out so I could get some sleep so that I've got some energy. So I've looked at my notes in the class and I've got, okay, that's like dimorphine. And so I phoned up the hospital and I said, look, this is the situation. Like, they're not, you know, in that time frame, but I'm exhausted. I want to come in and get the dimorphine. And they said to me on the phone, we don't do that here, so don't come in. And literally she put the phone down on me.
Wow, okay.
So I was like, oh, okay, like, whatever. Let me just chill here for a little while longer. And then they were the 3 in 10 minutes. So I phoned my designated midwife, who didn't answer the phone. And then she said to me, so she phoned me back about 10 minutes later and said to me, I'm not working, but the call divert is not working. So don't call me back. I'll come and see you at the hospital in the morning when my shift starts. So she didn't say, like, this is the person who's on call. Here's their number. Like, I didn't have any of their information. She's just like, ugh. And I kind of thought, ah, fuck it. Don't like you anyway.
Yeah.
So not a massive problem for me. So I just kind of chilled out a little bit. And at this point, it was about eight o'clock in the morning. I thought, I'm going to go to the hospital now. So I phoned for a taxi. They told me it was a 2-hour wait. So I was like, okay, I'm only, like, on a day when you're not in labor, it's about a 10 minute walk to the hospital.
Okay.
So I thought, fuck it, I'll just walk up to the hospital. So me and Dwayne left. And we hit, like, in central London, we hit rush hour walking in a really busy road. And I remember having a contractions outside Tesco's with, like, all the school children with the secondary school children. And then kind of just getting up there, getting into the hospital, checking in. And I had this midwife. And the contractions had slowed down a lot, but I was also vomiting, which I didn't know that vomiting was a part of labor. So I was vomiting as well. And she kind of like was giving me a bit of an examination, not a vaginal examination, just like stomach and like just a few other things. Can't really remember what they are. And I was there for like maybe 40 minutes. And so I phoned the family member that I was staying with and I was like, can you please come? So they came up. And she's saying, like, you know, we're saying we don't want to go home. We live on the fourth floor with no lift. I'm exhausted. Can I not just have somewhere just to sit and lie down and relax? They said, no. No, you have to go home. You're not ready. Not everyone can stay here. You know, if it, you know, we just don't have the room.
Yeah.
And I ended up in an argument with this midwife. And I'm just going, but I don't want to go. And she's going, I don't care. And then I said, I can't go home. I can't go home. I can't get there. I just don't have the energy to do this. And she just ended up saying to me, you know, you could do what you want. You could go wherever you want to go. You're just not staying here.
Wow.
At that point, I thought, I just want to leave. Like, so
such an awful way to treat you. So awful. Like in a time where, you know, you're just needing some support and recognition, aren't you, for all of this that you're going through. And just getting such a stone wall of just like, nah, not our problem. Do we like? You mean, oh, how is that anything to do with like supporting the woman or anything? It's just not, is it? Like, you might as well have been anywhere, a bank, anywhere, like nothing to do with.
You'd be better off.
Yeah, maybe. might have had a chair you could sit on. Christ. Yeah. God.
But just on a human level, like you've got a human being coming in saying, I need help. Yeah. And, you know, even when you're on the phone as well, you've just got like, Tori said, a stone wall of no. It's like, I'm not available, but that, what about support though? What can you do? And it's just, it's, I'm just so angry on your behalf that like, what a shit way to treat another human.
I'm so sorry that that was
I think in a way my feelings towards it at the time was, I just want to get away from these people.
Yeah.
I don't want to go, which is what they're telling me to do, but I just want to get away from them. So I got in the lift and it's like, you know, those lift situations that you can't necessarily get in the lift because they're so packed. So you might have to wait for like a few lifts to go past. So I'm in the lift going down to call a cab and I'm having these contractions in the lift. And then my family member ended up phoning back up to the department and going, listen, she's just had two contractions on the way down. Are you really going to do this? You really going to send her home? And they just went, yeah, just go home.
Wow.
Like, fuck it. Let me just go home. So we went back, we went up and I was like, okay, I think I'm going to get in the bath. So I got in the bath. This was about lunchtime at this point. But I was in the bath for about like 15 minutes. And what they'd said to me at the hospital is they said, your waters haven't even broken yet. So go home and you come back when your waters are broken. That was like the thing that I had to do. So I was in the bath for a little while, got out of the bath and my waters broke. So I was like, okay, let me go back. I was maybe at home for like 45 minutes or something. So I called a taxi, went back, met this midwife that had sent me home, really not long after she'd sent me home. And I could see her kind of purposely move away from me and we locked eyes. And I thought, just so you could see, like literally you just sent me home and I've just had to just literally do a journey and come back. And so someone else dealt with me. I had a midwife and I had a student midwife there as well. She gave me a vaginal examination and she said, okay, you're 10 centimeters dilated, you're ready to go. And I was like, okay. So I said, you know, I want to go in the pool. So they ran the pool for me. And I went in that room and I was using a little bit of gas and air. And I was... She didn't even give me the chance, a conversation, an opportunity to naturally push. It was just coached. She kept putting her hand on my stomach and just going, okay, in a minute, like next minute, you're going to push, but wait until I tell you to push. And
I hate that just, so much.
I do too. Yeah.
And then eventually she said to me, I think you need to get out the pool. It might be slowing down the process. So can you get out the pool? So I got out. And she put some towels on the floor and she put me like on the floor on my back, coach pushing me. I really don't know what that was about. And then I was just feeling like over the hours, there was no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no change. So I said to her, I really don't feel like this is progressing.
No.
And she said, I'm glad you said that. She said, I was just thinking the same thing. We'll get you out and we'll get the whoever they were to come and have a look at you. Mm. So they did, and they said, okay, we're going to take you into theatre. We're going to give you a forceps delivery. And it's like, okay, like that's what we're going to do then. So, yeah, that's just kind of what happened.
Jesus.
And
that's just so, I don't know, I'm almost like lost for words for how much disregard I get from the feeling of anyone around you. It's almost just like, oh, this is taking too long. Right, we'll just get the forceps out. Like, and not even an explanation or a discussion. It doesn't sound like there was anything in terms of how did you feel? You know, like what's going on for you? It's just a case of like, oh, we're going to do this now then because it's taking a while. Off we go. You're like, God, talk about, I mean, I know we talk about conveyor belt all the time, but you were really on it. And it's so.
Yeah. And then after, like they handed me him and it was like, oh, okay, that's nice. And then I had no idea really what else was going on there. And then I said to them, oh, I'm keeping that placenta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I thought like what I wanted to do was like take it back to Grenada along with my dad's ashes.
Oh, yeah.
And I was going to plant them, like plant a tree, put them under a tree, plant a tree. So he said to me, oh, that's already been incinerated. He said,
what?
You think you want it. He said, but you don't want it. My wife said that she wanted it. And we took it home and it just sat there. We ended up putting it in the bin.
Oh, my God. That's so disrespectful. And
I'm so fucking angry.
Oh, God. Me too. And, you've said so many times already in this story, like, everyone's telling you what they think you want based on what they think you want. You know, it's nothing to do with. Like, why does everyone around you just pretend they know what you're thinking or feeling, like they've got some kind of telepathic power, or that they just know what's best for you because that's what they've decided? You know, how dare they say, yo, you think you want it, but you don't really. Like, oh, don't I? Oh, thanks for telling me. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. Whoa. And obviously I kind of just let it pass in that moment because I'm just holding my brand new baby.
Yeah. And what can you do? Like,
it's been incinerated. I've just been told. Sorry.
Christ.
It really, what strikes me about it, like, you know, I like to see threads. I feel threads, and it just seems like you're invisible in this whole thing. Like, you're not, there's no humanness about this whole thing that you've just been explaining. It's like you're just, the image that I get is like you're just this ball, you know, pregnant ball, just being passed around and passed around, and you're like curled up in the middle of it and no one can see you in that whole experience. It's like, oh God, it makes me so angry that
that's exactly
people
how
can
it
just look straight through you.
I don't know, I think I just didn't really pick up on it because I kind of used to it. I think I'm used to it. It's pretty much just I think that like all these things, just like I'm so thankful to my son for, I suppose, what he had to go through, what we both went through, kind of brought me to this place that is just like, it's just amazing, like the amazing difference between the two. But yeah, they, so because I'd been like, I don't know, I was just, I'd been numbed up for the forceps and I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't prepared for that. So I was in this like side room with three other women and it was a nice and quiet. It was quiet. It was nice, that room. It was all right. One of the women's husbands was taking like business calls on his mobile really loudly, but the staff put a stop to that.
Oh, right. Good. Good. They did something.
Yeah. And then I think the next day I went on the ward with like everyone.
Yeah.
And that, oh my God, horrid, horrible, because it was just filled with crying babies.
Yeah,
I don't know my babies cry, like, but anyway, my ears just perk up at any crying baby at this point. And
yeah,
and they just like automatically did everything that they were going to do, so suppose like the vitamin K and and stuff like that. So Zebedee ended up having jaundice and I was like breastfeeding him and that was difficult. Like I remember just thinking, like looking at him in this little plastic box thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing, but it's fine, I'll be fine, I know I'm going to be okay. But like, oh shit, I have no experiences of babies. Don't. And so the first night, Dwayne had stayed with me, I think, throughout the night. The second night on this ward, I was just a bit scared of being left alone with this baby. So I said to him, like, you're going to stay, because they were allowed to stay. Partners were allowed to stay. He was moaning that that chair wouldn't be comfortable to sleep on. So yeah, I was on my own and he had jaundice and I was trying to feed him and I couldn't sleep and no one explained how the ward worked to me. Like it was like you had to go and get your own food, like it was on a tray somewhere. I didn't know, so I'm just like sitting there thinking, oh, I just don't really know what I'm doing. And in the nighttime, so I think we were in there a couple of nights because of the jaundice. They say he's not leaving till the jaundice is gone. This really nice doctor came round in the middle of the night and she said to me, so how are you getting on with the feeding? I said, yeah, I think it's okay. And she said, you know, you don't have to just sit in that position. You could try this and that. So she kind of had me manoeuvring around. She's like, you could hold like this or like that. And she was just lovely and helpful.
Finally.
And yeah, I found a better like position to feed in and that really helped. And then I think the next day I was going, like they released me the next evening. But in the day there was a midwife coming around and Zebedee was on the breast the whole time. But when, just before she walked in, he would come off it. So she would be like, your baby's not leaving until you've fed this jaundice out of them. You know, and you're not even trying. And I said, no. Like literally, he's just sat on the breast for 2 hours. Like he literally just came off. And she's like, you're not even trying, you know. And then someone was visiting me whose partner had a wife there the year before. And they said, isn't there a feeding class down the hall? No one had told me this.
Oh God.
So they're like, oh yeah. And then I said, so when are the times? And that should I don't know. And she walked off. I didn't attend them, I didn't know. And then she came around again and I had another visitor there and she said, you know, I'm really sick of you not trying. And I said, no, I am trying. And I said, and there was a really nice doctor came around in the night and she helped me a lot, so I'm now trying like this. Mm. But because I had praised this doctor, she said, and I said they were really nice, she said, so what, you're saying that I'm not nice?
Oh my God.
But I looked at her and I laughed because I thought
it's
she
absurd.
Was joking.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
Like you might, you're like, you're joking. We've got a bit of banter here or something. Like, yeah. I don't understand the situation. Yeah. And she just glared at me. Right. And then eventually they said, okay, you could go home. Mm. And I was like, okay. I've never, as an adult, been in hospital. Mm-hmm. I haven't. I don't know how it works. From what I've seen on the TV and stuff, like they come and they sign you out,
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah. I'm just sitting there and waiting for someone to come and say, okay, here's your paperwork or whatever.
Yeah, discharge you. Yeah.
Yeah, discharge me.
Yeah.
And then she came around, she went, why are you still here? Why are you sitting here? And I went, oh, I'm just waiting like for someone to come and discharge me.
Yeah.
And she went, I've already discharged you. Can you go?
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Oh,
and I said, where's my book? Because I had like in the medical book, I had like some personal photos tucked in them. I said, I want my stuff. Where's my book? So she went and got them for me and I just like went home. Yeah, it's just like a really horrible experience.
Can I ask something? Do you feel like they were speaking to everybody like that?
Well, what I know, so this really nasty woman was black, and I noticed that on the ward there was like maybe 8 beds, and there was me, who's black, and there was another woman who was next to me who's black, and the other black lady, she was like, I think it was her second child. She was just very quiet and within herself. Mm. But the other all white women were being spoken to quite nicely by her. Mm. Yeah, quite nicely. So, yeah.
Why is that, though? Like, I just don't understand why. Because it's not the first time I've heard someone describe that kind of treatment in that kind of circumstances. And I just don't understand why. Do you have any kind of insight on that, or are you at a loss?
I don't know. I just think, like, I think we all kind of know how a lot in life, including the birthing system, is a lot more dangerous for women of colour, birthing people of colour. But I suppose when they really have the system working the way that they want it to, then they get even black women to do it to each other.
Yeah.
Like it's just everything is working the way that they want it to work.
It should, yeah.
It's just the situation. But I also think that, like, I just went into birth blind. I think, what the fuck? Why did you not educate yourself on this? Like, it baffles me why I didn't do that. I have no idea why I didn't do it. And so, yeah, then after that, I had this amazing free birth.
Yeah. So when did you kind of, were you quite, I don't know, how did it happen for you? Like, how keen were you on having another baby? Like, was it soon? Like, where was the little spark of the beginning of that?
Yeah, there's a 7-year age gap between my two children.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have had another child a lot sooner, but the reality, which actually it was just a financial reality of having a child, was just like, I could barely afford this child that I have. So I really just can't have another child at the moment. I know that I will at some point, but I can't. And then I came into a little bit of money, not a lot, but a little bit. And I thought, I think I might have another baby with the money.
Yay!
That's a great use.
Of course.
What an investment.
Yeah. So, and also, like, I was a bit aware of my age, because when we decided to try for another baby, I was 39. So it happened like within 6 months of trying, which seemed like a bit of a worry at the time, but like now it's just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But then again, so I found out that I was pregnant, and the one person that I really looked forward to telling was our family friend, Kath, who I've known all my life, and I've always been extremely close to her.
Mm.
And I literally, like, that was just, it is the same, like, with my dad. I thought, I can't wait to tell Kath. Mm. She's going to be so happy. It's going to be so amazing.
Yeah.
And literally a couple of days after I took the pregnancy test, I got a phone call from her son.
Oh, no.
Saying that she died.
Oh, Bria. Oh, Bria. Oh, goodness.
And I thought, oh, okay. I just thought, okay, so it's Kath. Because I think, I thought again, I thought, oh, I think my granny might die. Because at this point, she's 97. So I'm like, and she always said to me, like, you know, for the last 15 years or so, she said, you know, if you're around me and I die, just to let you know, I'm fine with that. It's all good. Don't want you to be worried or upset. And I just thought, oh, fuck, okay, that's, like, that really hit me.
Oh, yeah.
So hard.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think them being pregnant just made it feel, in a way, okay, like, extremely sad.
Oh, yeah, of
course. But, like, it just made it feel like, okay. And so I attended, like, so I went back to England for, like, just my yearly visit. Mm. I was already booked to go. I went, I phoned up the GP. I said, oh, I'm pregnant. Like, just the way that I did 7 years before, I'm pregnant.
Mm.
And they said, oh, yeah, we don't do that here anymore.
Oh, well, we don't do pregnancy here anymore. Oh, great. Good.
You got to do self-referral.
Oh, and right, like, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what that means, but okay. And she said, I'll text you, like, the link. And I said, yeah. Okay. But I didn't, for some reason, I didn't have a smartphone. I had, like, just a really basic mobile phone. So she, like, texts me, and it's just like, what does that mean? It's like, no, I can't press a link.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just, like, trying to figure this out, and I just kind of couldn't. And I thought, well, I'm kind of due for my scan.
Mm.
So I found out by looking on the internet that I could self-referral for that.
Okay.
So I self-referred the scan.
Mm-hmm.
They sent an appointment in the post. But my checking in, eventually I worked in at the checking in.
Mm.
Actually, I just went to the hospital and I asked them. I said, look, this is the address. What's the team? And they said, okay, here's the email for them. And so I emailed them to do the self-referral. Weeks went by, nothing. And I remember saying to my friend, I literally don't care.
No, yeah.
Don't care. I don't know why I don't care, but I don't care. And saying to them, imagine if you cared.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not, like, they're just not giving it to you.
Yeah.
And they're not saying how you could contact, and they're not, like, I just didn't care. And then eventually I got through to someone. I went for the booking in appointment, and everyone's wearing masks, so it's kind of hard to really see who people are.
Yeah.
And she came out and she called me, and I thought, I know you, but the mask was like,
uh-huh.
And then she said, did I deliver your lot? Like, I was your midwife last time. And I thought, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't like you at all. But I also, at the same time, don't care. Just seem to care.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went for... So I was in. She was asking me, like, questions, and she was filling out the antenatal book.
Hmm.
And she was asking me certain questions. And I just thought, I'm only doing this because I have to do it. And then I just want to get out of here. So when I left the appointment, I looked at the book and she'd filled out for me without asking me. She'd filled out like where I was going to give birth at the hospital and this. And I was literally thinking I wouldn't go in the hospital again. I think I'd have a home birth. But she didn't ask me.
No.
And I literally, she'd filled it all out for me.
Right.
And I thought, wow, okay. That's a real nerve there that you
Yeah.
got. But again, I seem to, for some reason, just not care. Just don't care. But I said to her, look, I'm going to Grenada. I'm going to come back at 36 weeks. So she's like, okay, I'll book your appointment for 36 weeks. So I did. But actually, so just before the booking in appointment, I had a situation in the place that I was staying where I was, something happened to my son that I didn't like in an environment. And when I questioned it, they turned against me.
Right.
So it ended up in a situation one night that I had to physically get in a fight with the people where I was staying, fight them off, grab my son, get out of there, and just be absolutely like homeless.
Oh, God.
And then I kind of like stayed. I was going to visit a friend like outside London. So we just went there and it was just like, okay, that one place that I had that I could go to, I don't have anymore. But literally what happened in that moment, I think I turned like feral and suddenly I was just, all I was a mammal with their young and a baby inside me doing everything that I could do to get away. And it was a situation which was, do not fuck with me. I could kill you at this point if you fuck with me. Like, and I just saw myself as just a mammal. It was almost like reliving it. It feels like I was in some sort of wildlife documentary being hunted.
Yeah.
And like kind of just like saving ourselves. But it also feels like, looking back on it, it feels like that was my transition that I think most birthing people have when they're in labor.
Yeah.
I don't have that. We'll get on to that. But I feel like that was the point. I was maybe like about 5 or 6 months pregnant at that point. And so I thought, okay, right, I go back to Grenada. I went back and I just thought, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have to protect myself from the NHS. Like, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
I just saw them as dangerous. They're not safe. They're not safe physically. They're not safe mentally. And they're not going to have me or my children. They're not going to have me. So I just wasn't sure. I was sitting with it and I thought, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it is. But I think for a few years before, I'd been following like loads of birth people on social media and just like watching these births and just falling in love with the idea of giving birth and thinking that looks amazing, looks wonderful. And I was following Kemi. Kemi Johnson, and I watched a live that she did with Kezia.
Oh yes.
And I watched it and I thought, wow, that makes sense. Like, it just, there's nothing in that that doesn't make 100% sense.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm gonna do. Like, literally I finished watching it, I just went, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
I can't wait for Kezia to hear this.
I know. Amazing.
it's funny because I listened to another podcast with you and I heard someone say Kezia.
Yes.
That video.
Yeah, she keeps coming up.
But so just to rewind a little bit, when I found out that I was pregnant, I contacted Zadie's Instagram is Zadie Wild, because I really admired her birth photography and I was like, I really want a photographer at my birth, like I really want this documented. It's gonna be like just amazing. So we had already agreed that she would come and be my birth photographer. So after watching the live with Kemi and Kezia, I just went straight onto Kemi's website and I booked an introduction.
Oh, amazing.
With her.
Yeah,
so, amazing.
Yeah. So I think that was like the next day. I booked the chat for the next day. And like we introduced ourselves and it was just like, oh, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so she was like, so what are you thinking? I said, well, I think I'm going to free birth. And she said, I said, I think I could do that. And she said, of course you could do that. And I said, yes, I can. And she said, yeah, okay. So I said, okay, well, that's that decision made.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
It just was done. Like literally, like, yeah, just done, like a couple of minutes done. So then she was like, so, you know, she said to me what she could offer me. And she said, you know, we could book in some chats. She said, we could book in like a group of sessions or you could just do one. And I thought to myself, no, I think it would be a good idea to have someone that I could talk to on a regular basis. So I booked in like maybe 5 sessions with her. And she said to me, like, what kind of person are you? Are you like a spiritual person? Are you? I went, no. I'm really not. I'm just a very matter-of-fact person. So I said, okay, I'm going to send you some things. So one of the things that she sent me was this podcast, your podcast.
Oh, hooray! Thanks, Kemi.
This is great. And she sent me some other material, suggested material. I booked in and then she said, okay, we'll arrange to book in the session. So I thought to myself, I'm going to have the first one with you on my own. And then the second ones, I'm going to book in all at a time that both me and Dwayne can attend together.
Great idea.
And I had the first session with her on my own. And I thought to myself, I think I've spent about half that session moaning about my partner. So I'm not going to invite him to the rest of them. I think this is me.
Interesting.
I thought I just like your I thought about Kim, you're mine. You're not here, you're mine. And I had, before deciding to free birth, I'd booked us on an online hypnobirthing course with Anna from Hackney Hypnobirthing.
Because I'd
been following her and I like her and I like her attitude and I like the things that she puts across. So I thought I'll do a course with you. But then I decided to free birth and it didn't feel as relevant to me. But I was like, I'm still gonna do it. And I'm going to do it with my partner. And it was good, but she's very aware of the system. So a lot of it was like, if you're in the system, this is really what you have to do to yourself to survive. And I'd already decided that I was stepping out of it. But so the first session, I'd said to Dwayne like 3 weeks previously, this time, this day, you need to be here because this is what we're doing. And then the time and date came and he was like, I can't, I've got to go and do something. We had an argument. He joined the session. But then the second week came around and he was like, look, I will come, but I'm going to be a bit late. And I just went, no, you need to understand something. I have had a baby. I kind of know what's going on. You've also had a baby, but your behavior was so unacceptable. I'm not having it. I am not having it from you. So really, we're enrolled on this course for you. You need to learn some shit. And if you don't want to learn some shit, you can't be there. Like that, it's that simple. And it kind of ended up in a bit of an argument. And then I just went, I've sat you. You are not my birth partner. I'm done.
Whoa, yeah. Yeah.
But so kind of like going in and out a little bit. So that was after my sessions with Kemi. Mm-hmm. Before I said in the sessions with Kemi, I was just like, okay, so I'm going to free birth. And he is not capable. It's not okay. He cannot be the only person there. Mm. If something, say, went wrong, he is not capable navigating this place. He can't do it. I need someone. I don't feel like I have anyone in my life that I could ask.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm going to get a doula.
Okay.
And then I thought, well, Zadie's booked in to do the photography. I'm going to ask her to also be the doula.
Yeah.
So we kind of discussed that and then agreed to that as well. So I was also like, okay, so how's this going to work? We're going back to England because Grenada is not, I don't think it's okay to do that here.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about England is the laws are very clear, and I can look it up and I can quote a law and I can find that out. Here it's just not clear.
Mm.
Like you just kind of can't find the information out. I did look into trying to get a private midwife so that I could home birth here, and I met a brick wall. I just got nowhere. So like, okay, I'm going to go back to England. I have a little bit of money. So I am going to rent an Airbnb because we're going to have our own home and it's going to be a nice home.
Yeah.
But also what I'm going to do is I love being a mum and I love everything about it, but it's very intense. We live in like a 12-foot by 12-foot house. That's the whole house.
Mm.
So we sleep together. We like, there's no getting away from each other. And I've done 7 years of parenthood. I just need a little break. So I thought I need to fly at like 36 weeks or before, but Dwayne and Zebedee don't need to. So do you know what? I'm going to have a month to myself, in London.
Mm.
And Dwayne can look after Zebedee and hopefully he will have a bit more understanding of what I do. But also it'd be nice for them. And I just want to go and just chill out on my own in London. So I was in an Airbnb and I had an estimated due date like a month after I arrived in the UK. And Dwayne and Zebedee were going to fly the day before the estimated due date.
Okay.
I don't know why, because I was expecting them to be there for the birth. I just assumed that this baby's not going to come early.
Yeah.
In preparation, I'd done like Leonie's navigating officialdom. So I did, from Leonie's course, I was like, okay, I can do this self-notification thing once the baby's here, but that might not be smooth. So I think that I will probably have the midwives come out after I've birthed the placenta. So I had this 36-week appointment booked with the midwife. So I emailed them to say, do you know what? Like, well, what I emailed was exactly what Leonie kind of outlined.
Fantastic.
Just stating, I'm going to free birth. I know this is my legal right. Kind of quote the law at them and then say, I know like no one is allowed to act as a midwife. So I emailed that in, didn't turn up for the appointment. Then I started getting these emails, texts, phone calls. Didn't answer the phone calls. And they, so she was texting me saying, do you think that we could speak? It wasn't my usual midwife, it was someone else. Do you think we could speak? So I said, okay, I better talk to you. Otherwise, you're just going to keep hassling me. So I spoke to her, and she was like so friendly, so nice. The tone was lovely. Oh, I could, okay, that's fine. I completely respect your decisions. Yes, yes, that's fine. Da, da, da. Do you think, would it be okay if we check in on you every so often? And I thought, like by phone, and I thought, yeah, okay, I don't want to burn my bridges with you. Doesn't make sense for me to do that. So yes, we could do that. So she said, okay. I gave her the address of the Airbnb that would be at. So she checked, we changed the lot of midwives. And they were calling me up and they were saying, oh, so how are you? Blah, blah, blah. So should we come out and see you? Should we come and do this? I've gone, no, no, I'm okay. I'm okay, thanks. And they'll go, oh, okay, but blah 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 blah. Go, no, no, I'm okay, but thanks for offering.
Yeah,
I'm okay. Blah 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 blah. No, really, really, I'm okay. And they'll be okay then. And then they would throw this like firebomb at you, or just because like this terrible thing could happen and your baby could die. It's okay. Yes. I'm okay. Thank you. And then they basically, they just kept doing that. They was ringing me every, like, maybe twice a week, three times a week, going, so shall we come out and see you for this, this? I'll go, no, no, it's fine. And then the last straw was they ended the conversation after I said, no, I'm okay. So they'd obviously been into my medical records. And they said to me, oh, we just noticed that your other child was born very small. And these are the dangers of having a very small baby. Now, he was not very small. He was normal. My family were quite small, but normal, healthy, fine. And I just thought, like, how dare you go into my medical records and pull things out? Yeah. This was never an issue. No? There was never an issue about my son being small. No. And I just thought, I'm not going to talk to you again. And I'm not, I don't even need to tell you that I'm not talking to you. I'm just not going to answer the phone. So they would phone me and I would text them going, I'm fine. I'm busy. I can't answer the phone. So I had a mucus show. Like, she was born on the Sunday. I had a mucus show on the Friday. And so I contacted Zadie because Zadie had just said to me, listen, if you've got any movement, just make contact. Just let me know. So that was like the Friday. My checkout was on the Sunday at 11 o'clock. I just decided to just stay in, not do anything. Just I'm going to just stay there. I had a taxi booked for 11 o'clock on the Sunday. Sunday morning, I was like literally up from about 1 o'clock in the morning having these like kind of pains, just thinking, oh, this is the usual shit. I'll go back to sleep in the morning. And about eight in the morning, I was like, these are just kind of like not going away. I'll text Zadie. So I said to Zadie, oh, I'm kind of having these cramps, been having these cramps overnight. They stop in the day. But she's like, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know. Like, I'm here. Whenever you need me, I'm here. I said, yeah, yeah, I'm fine. My cab's coming at 11. I'm going to travel to the opposite end of London to change Airbnbs. And then I put down the phone and I just thought, like, I was getting up. I was going to the toilet. I was pooing a lot in the morning. I just kept on feeling like I needed a poo. So I just went and sat on the toilet and like, oh, can't poo. Like, after a while, can't poo. Just go sit back into bed, lying in bed thinking, nope, need to poo. And just go, like, just going back and forth, sit on the toilet thinking that I needed to poo. And then I just thought, they're not going away. They go away in the day. They're not going away. So I said to Zadie, actually, they're not going away. She said, how often are they? I said, I don't know. She said, well, maybe you want to think about timing them. So I said, okay. So I timed them and I had like three in 12 minutes. Wow. So I sent her a message. Yeah, I said, it's three, like, but she had already offered. I said, I've got a taxi booked for 11. She said, or I could take you.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, baby's like at that point thinking it's coming in the next few days, but like I'm fine, I'll get in a taxi, my stuff's all packed. And then I sent her a message saying, actually, yeah, the I've had three in the 12 minutes. And she said, that's actually quite a lot. I said, yeah, maybe like you should take me, I'll cancel the taxi. And she said, yeah, okay. I said, I think I'll come over. And I was like, wow. Thinking, well, 11 o'clock, come at 11 because that's the checkout time. So it was about 9. And then I just suddenly felt like a lot of pain. And I called Zadie up and I was like, actually, I think I just want you to come just so someone's with me. Still not really thinking. I'm like, okay, at this point, the baby's going to come sometime today. But my labour with Zebedee was like 23 hours.
Something.
So this is going to be a very long situation. And she said, okay, I'll come. And then I stood in the kitchen. And I thought, I'm in so much pain. I'm not up for this. And I just felt really pissed off because in my head, I'm thinking, I don't remember it being this painful. And I can't deal with 20 hours of this. Like, but I said to myself, but you can. You're going to do this. It's fine. So I literally, I stood in the kitchen and I had a word with myself. I said, you're on your own and you will stay on your own. However tempted you are to call upon people who are not good for you, do not call them. You will not call them. You will stay on your own. What do you need to do in this situation? And I looked at the bath, the empty bath, and I thought, that looks comfortable. I'm going to get in the bath. So what I need to do practically is put the key on the outside of the door because Zadie is coming. And I feel like when I get in the bath, I'm not going to get out without help. Zadie can help me out of the bath. We can get in her car. We could go to the other Airbnb. And I sat in the bath and I was like on all fours thinking, oh, that's comfortable. And I thought, no, I was on the toilet and I just let out this roar. I don't know. It was like a roar, a moo, just a something. And I thought, oh, okay. that's something. Like, and then I thought, okay, let me kind of think practically. And then I got in the bath and I was on all fours. I thought, I'm just going to feel down there. And I felt down there and there was like, I was just really open. And there was something, and I just retracted my hand straight away. I was like, oh, no, I can't deal with what that is. And I now realize why. Because I think ordinarily I would have been a bit fascinated by that and wanted to like have a feel. And I was just like, no. And I was like, okay, only at that point I thought I'm having a baby now. And I thought, I'm very comfortable on all fours, but I'm a little bit worried about catching them. So I think I need to turn around and sit on my bum. So I turned around, I sit on my bum, and then I let another noise out. And I felt like this ring of fire. And I thought, oh, that's the ring of fire. Because I never felt any of this with Zebedee.
Because
they numbed me.
Yeah, of course.
And I don't know, my body just like pushed, didn't it? It just pushed. And then I could feel this thing like half out of me. And I was like, okay, so it's like half out.
Whoa.
And then I just sat there and then I thought, okay, push again. Like when the time I didn't tell myself to push, my body just did it. And then like I looked down and it was just like this sack. Like it was like a balloon.
Oh, wow.
And I could see this. I could see this like face pushed up against the balloon. And I thought, oh my God, like, I was just like, that's fucking amazing.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, and I think I had prepared for a lot of stuff. Mm. I prepared for, like, if the baby didn't come down straight away, if the cord was around its neck and all this stuff. But I had not prepared for this.
Yeah.
And so I was just, like, holding her. And, well, at the time, I didn't know that it was a her, but I was just, like, holding them. And I kind of didn't want to burst it, but I was just like, I don't know how you are in there. I don't know how long you could stay in there. But I'm just really fascinated to look at you. But I thought, no, let's get you out. So maybe like 20 seconds, I looked at her. And then I just like used my little finger as a hook to like burst it under the chin. And then I pulled the sack over her head. And I think, like, now looking back on it, that was why I didn't want to feel what was happening down there, because I'm pretty sure that my babies are born with, if not a lot of hair, a bit of hair. And I just felt this extremely smooth thing. So, like, I'm thinking that I probably thought that that child is not head first, like, but I wasn't thinking it, but just
maybe
knowing it. It's, like, it's a bum. It's not for him. Maybe it's a bum, but literally I wasn't thinking that. But now I think, like, I was shocked that that was smooth. And like all the stuff was like packed up by the door, ready to be put. So I had like nothing out. And there was a towel like above me. There was a towel rail above me. So like I just pulled her to my chest and I pulled the towel down and I just put the towel over me. And then Zadie sent me a text saying, I'm 5 minutes away. So literally, like, she lives pretty close to where I was. So I think within me asking her, for her to come, she'd arrived in like 15, 20 minutes. But she was like, I'm 5 minutes away. So I'm just sitting there and I text her back saying, they're here. So she phoned me, she went, what? And I said, they're here. And then I thought, and then I was like, because I didn't know what, like, if it's a boy or a girl. So I realized that I thought my language of they might make it sound like I've had like two babies or something. So it's like, no, it's just the one. But they've arrived. And she's like, okay, I'll see you in a bit. So I was just like, okay, I'm just going to sit here. And then the next thing, she's like, open the door. And she's just like, walked in. And she said, hi. I said, hi. And she was like, you're okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. She's like, yeah. And we're like just smiling at each other. And she's like, okay. I was like, yeah, okay. And we're just like, we're just looking at each other. And then she still, like, I asked her to open, like, close the window and stuff because I was really cold. I opened it because it was so hot. And she's like, oh, should I take some pictures? So yeah, take some pictures. And we were just like, I just sat there in the bath with the baby.
Those pictures are amazing, by the way. I just remember being so struck by just, I mean, her photography anyway is incredible, but just, I can picture those pictures right now. They're just, so amazing.
It was just, oh God. Like, I just feel so emotional every time I think about it. And actually I go and look at the pictures maybe like every day, every other day, and just think, wow, that was so amazing. But like before that, so I wasn't getting on with the host and I was just trying to avoid confrontation. And I was like, okay, so at this point, she's born at 10 and my checkout is at 11.
Oh God,
my God.
She contacted me like 2 days before and said, can I come and get the spare bedding and stuff to wash? Because the next guest is coming in right after you leave.
Oh, goodness.
Whoa.
So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of aware. Oof. I said to Zadie, I said, put the key in the door.
Mm.
So they can't open the door from the outside, because I'm thinking someone could turn up. Like, I still had a little bit of time, but
yeah,
still, I'm like, I hadn't birthed a placenta or anything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she just kind of like got me a drink and we just like sat there. And then like maybe about 15 minutes later, I could feel the placenta came. So that kind of just popped out, just pushed that out a bit, popped out.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there and we're kind of like discussing the baby. And then we thought, oh, we don't even know if it's a boy or a girl. Let's have a look. Mm-hmm. So I said, oh, it's a girl. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And because everything had been packed away, she's like, I looked at her and I said to her, when do you think we can leave?
Yeah.
Because like, mm-hmm, I kind of need to get out of this place. And she said to me, whenever you think you're ready.
Yeah.
You know. Whenever, like, it's down to you. So I was like, okay. So I said, so she said to me, she took some pictures, she made sure I was all right, and she said, I'll start packing the car. So like all my stuff that I had piled up, she went and she was packing the car. She got me clothes out, she got the baby clothes out. She asked me where the scissors were, so I kind of got the scissors. But she brought out like a little pair of like sewing scissors, but like little tiny ones. And so she sterilized them and stuff like that. So we ended up like cutting the cord, and then I just said to her, I think I want to go.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay. So because I was already in the bath, I handed her the baby and I said, can you dress the baby? And I just stood up and I put the shower on me, and I just showered down and I put my clothes on. She'd already packed the car, wrapped the baby, put the baby in the sling, wow, wrapped her up, and we just left.
Yeah. Goodness.
Yeah. And I was like, as I was in the shower, I was like showering down, like, yeah, blood, and like there's a bit of poo there and the,
yeah,
blood.
Yeah.
And like she picked up the placenta and put it in, like, we nicked a bowl from the Airbnb.
I mean, understandable. Yeah. Circumstances. Take a bowl.
God. Yeah, take a bowl.
Just given birth.
Yeah, and I was just like, just trying to get all the stuff down the plug hole.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself, if this, like, if the plug hole gets blocked or something and they have to come unblock, they're probably going to think I'm a murderer or something.
Like, oh, my God.
No, just a baby.
Baby, yeah.
It's a whole other kind of time pressure, isn't it? I mean, we hear about the hospital time frames of quick birth, your placenta, but this is like, I actually don't want anybody else to come in here.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
So yeah, we were about an hour late actually leaving, but yeah, we didn't meet anyone, so that was good. Kind of, so she bundled me in the car, I was just like cuddled up with Merlin, and we drove across London and just arrived at this other Airbnb, which I think it was so cold. I think it was the coldest day of the year so far.
And of course, there'd
been no one in this place. So like the heating was off, it was freezing. So like she just really wrapped us up, and like still my mind, I'm not used to letting someone just look after me.
Oh, yeah.
So even like, when we got out the car, she went and done like the lock box and opened the door while I sat in the car. She's like, okay, it's open, just go in. And I was like, yeah, but I've got like a free hand.
Yeah.
How can I not pay? You know, like, how can I not pay?
She just, God. Like,
she just tapped me on the shoulder. She said, can you just go inside?
And yeah, like, God.
Okay. So, yeah, we went in. And it was just the most, it was so beautiful there.
Oh,
like,
good.
I was determined to have like a really nice space.
Yeah.
And she wrapped us up, and there were like loads of candles there. So she lit the candles, and we just like sat there. And then I called Dwayne up because they were getting on a flight.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I think I can get you there. We're like on an overnight flight. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get you before. So I called him up. I was like, you know, I've had the baby. And he's like, oh, okay. I was like, just get to the airport and do that kind of thing. But I'd phoned a friend and I said to them, like, look, if by any chance I can't get to the airport before she's born, do you think you can go and collect them? Because I was going to go and collect them.
Mm.
I had their coats, their winter shoes, everything that I'd bought for them. They were coming with like nothing.
Mm.
And so me and Zadie were sitting there like all wrapped up, had like looked out at like the street lamp. And the snow started to come down and it just felt, oh God, this just feels like so romantic and beautiful and nice. But yeah, snow, and England can't handle cold. Snow, can it?
So, oh no, yeah, no.
That's a
total shutdown. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just like, me and Zadie were just sat there, like having like a really nice chat. And she'd asked me what I'd planned to do with the placenta, and I did want to get like the encapsulation done, but I hadn't got around to actually organizing anything.
Mm.
So like she just sat there and I could see her like on her phone, just like doing things. And she said to me, I think you need to eat something. What do you want to eat? And I was like, oh, maybe like some soup. Yeah. So she ordered a takeaway and she ordered like loads of really nice food.
Yeah.
And it turned up and we just like had like a nice meal together and it was just like really nice. And what she was doing when she was sitting there typing on the phone, she was organizing someone to come up and pick up the placenta for me.
I wondered if you'd say, yeah, amazing.
Yeah. And so she said, like, oh, they're coming. They'll come tomorrow. But if they don't come tomorrow because the snow's being a bit of an issue, just pop it in the freezer. So, yeah, we just had like a really nice day, the three of us just chatting.
Gorgeous.
And then I was just like sitting there with Merlin kind of going in and out of sleep. And I could feel her kind of like tap me on the shoulder. She said, do you think that you should go to bed? Like, yeah, okay, maybe. So she walked me into the bedroom and she had like all my stuff laid out. She had the bed made. She had like all the baby stuff out for me. And she like tucked me up in bed. She took some pictures. She tucked me up in bed. And then she had like some really nice kind words to say. And she was like, are you sure you're okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. And yeah, and then she left. And so I went to bed. When Zadie tucked me up, it was like, I don't know, early evening. It wasn't late. And I woke up at like 10 o'clock at night and I just thought, I'm just going to send that notification email. I did that. Just followed whatever you said. Here's the information. And literally next day at lunchtime they sent me an email back, congratulations, here's your information, here's your NHS number.
Amazing.
Here's like perfect. It was it. And it was like it was a bit of a nightmare getting Dwayne and Zebedee to the house.
Because, oh, really? I was going to ask you, how did that go down the whole first
stuff?
Yeah.
Well, my friend who went to pick them up for me got, like, part of the motorway was, like, snowed in.
Oh, no.
They were coming from Hastings to go and get them.
Oh.
So they had to, go round and do all this. But then eventually they got to them and brought them in. And that was really nice. Like Zebedee's a very quiet, not shy, but like he likes to observe. So he was like very pleased. And, you know, I was told to have a boy. So I was kind of like,
so you didn't follow the instructions?
No, you didn't.
Didn't follow the instructions. It was just so nice. I think I imagined this birth where, you know, Zebedee was there and Dwayne was there. And actually, just being on my own was the best thing.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have ever planned that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was perfect.
Oh, goodness. Wow, God, what a roller coaster that everything has been that you've taught. I mean, so many themes and subjects and areas that you've explored with your story. And I love how every single time we get someone different on here, it's so different feeling. Like, they're all free birth stories, or the majority of them are all free birth stories, but they're so different and unique. But I love that too, because it is all about the person telling it. It's all about the individual. And I hated that you didn't have that. You didn't have any sense of your individuality with your first birth experience. They didn't treat you like you. And I really think with your second, it was all about you. And you showed up for you, and it was, and you know, you were taken care of beautifully, you know, by your doula. And yeah, God, so many wonderful things you've touched on that I hope people listen, and I hope they see the value in, yeah, maybe having a doula, but even just connecting to what they want. Like, who are you and what do you want? Like, really ask yourself that. Like, it's not just, oh, I'm gonna have a baby and give birth. It's, but how do you want to do it? How does it look like for you?
It's
that reclamation, isn't it? Like, reclaiming what is yours and what you want and who you are and what you stand for and what your beliefs are and what your boundaries are and who you're letting go of and who you're going to be investing in and, like, what new direction is your life going to take? Because it's just such a life-altering experience, I think, when we can just take that back and just cut all the shit. Like, I love how you just seem to have no time for the shit.
Yeah.
And you're just like this badass birthing queen. Like, just smashing it. I love it. It's so inspiring.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it feels amazing. Like, I'm still, like, I feel I'm on a high still.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just amazing. Like, I think birth is amazing. It was an amazing experience. I kind of think, like, I think the only, I was on like a Zoom thing with you, and there was someone that was like in early labor, and I just thought, oh, I feel a little bit jealous. Like, I'm not happy.
Oh, I love that.
I'd love to be doing that today.
Yes.
That's how it should feel. Like, you want to do it more and more and more.
Yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, nice. Wow, what a story. Thank you so much, Bria,
for sharing
with the world. Yeah, you're amazing.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, Merlin.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. All right, have a nice evening.
If you have enjoyed listening to these stories, we'd love to hear from you. Take a screenshot, share your thoughts. We'd love to hear how you found these amazing stories. You can tag us, tag our Instagram accounts, share with your friends, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.